Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for, first of all, we just thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Father, that you have called us all. You've called us all into fellowship with you. You've called us all, Father, to be your sons and your daughters, that we've been adopted, just like Lee talked about Sunday night, that we've all been adopted by you, that we're your very own children, that we're in your family, that you're our very own Father. We thank you for that tonight. And Father, we thank you that you're a God who reveals yourself. You're not a God who's hidden himself. You're a God who's chosen to reveal yourself first and foremost through your word. And as we open the word tonight, Father, ask that you would reveal yourself to us through the word. And then you've chosen to reveal yourself by your spirit. And so I pray, Father, for all of us tonight, the Holy Spirit indwells us all, that tonight the Holy Spirit, you would reveal yourself to us by your spirit, and that we would see tonight, Father, every one of us, what we need to see. And Father, I pray tonight that we would be strengthened with your mighty power in our inner man. There'd be strength rise up within us, every person. There'd be strength come up within us, rise up within us, and we'd be strengthened tonight. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you, Father, that no evil will befall us, that no plague will come near our dwelling place. We thank you, Father, that nothing shall by any means hurt us. We give you praise and honor and glory, and we rest in your protection, in your safety, knowing your angels encamp around about us. We thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you want to, good to see all of you. If you want to, you can open your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll get started reading there in just a moment. But, you know, we've had a lot of things happen in the last several weeks, the most prominent of which is very evident in my neighborhood still, and your neighborhood may be similar. In fact, when we left the house this evening, Matt said to me, he said, do you think that it's going to take them the rest of the year to clean up all of what's happened? You know, we have neighbors, this one particular neighbor in our neighborhood, their trees are so splintered and so many are up over from the roots, and you know which house I'm talking about. I mean, you just look at that and they haven't even begun to clean any of it up. It's just the biggest mess. It would take several days work of some men with some machines to clean up what they got going. And I'm thinking it's like that everywhere. We had a major ice storm. And when that storm came in, we first had sleet. If y'all remember what happened, we first had the sleet come, and it, we got a good inch or so of that, and it weighed on everything. And then that was followed by the freezing rain. And there were twigs. I mean, I remember going out looking at, there were just little thin twigs, and you'd hold that twig up and it would be almost an inch across. And it was just a slight little twig and it would be an inch across just from the the frozen rain that was on it. That was amazing. And some of those trees, they had so much. They had a bunch of little twigs and all of that was collected and frozen on those trees and they broke. Oh man, did they break. They broke and they broke and they broke and they broke and they broke. And some of them broken that's still hanging. Y'all have any of that hanging limbs? We got all kinds of hanging stuff. It's not just what's on the ground, but when the good wind comes up, what, my goodness, there's so much debris that's been produced by just the weakness of the trees. And tonight we're going to talk about strength, because I was, you know, as you look out across there, sometimes I feel like that's the body of Christ. It seems like in some ways the body of Christ is as broken as those trees are. And, you know, many of you were here Saturday. Many of you women were here on Saturday when we had the women's event with Lee Grady. And then we had Sunday morning service. And then Sunday evening, again, Lee ministered. He talked about being adopted by the Father, and he ministered to a number of people. And in some ways, the weekend was sort of overwhelming to me. And it was overwhelming, not necessarily because of me. I mean, I was, Matt and I were talking, and I was thinking, I'm not sure how much ministry I myself got out of it, because I was so overwhelmed with what was going on around me. And we had two, for those of you that weren't here, we had small group sessions. We had what was supposed to be half an hour in the morning and in the evening, both turned into at least 45 minutes, which you should know when you have a bunch of women gathered in a little group. It was good that we, you know, got away from there in 45 minutes. it could have been 2 hours, you know. But anyway, there we were. And just the things that I heard in my group, you know, it was heartbreaking. At one point, you know, I just realized, at one point I wanted to stand up and scream, did anybody have a good father? You know, when you start looking at absentee fathers, fathers who were alcoholics, fathers who were abusive fathers, you just wonder. I mean, then that was just one little thing we talked about. And another time we talked about fear, and oh my goodness, I just so it was, to be honest with you, it was kind of an overwhelming weekend just in dealing with that. In fact, one of the ladies that was here for the weekend, she said to me at the end of the weekend, she said, I just want to say, I just feel like I need to tell somebody, I don't have any problems. I thought I had a lot of problems, but after what I just experienced and witnessed and the people that I talked to, I realized I have no problems. And if you hear me talking about problems, just tell me to shut right up, because I found out people have been really hurt. And, you know, and so sometimes that's a good reminder for all of us that, you know, because we all think we're such victims. Nobody ain't got it as bad as I got it. Nobody's been done as wrong as I've been done. Just shut up a minute, listen to the fella next to you, and you realize, oh my goodness. So, but you know, we live in a fallen world. Jesus has redeemed us, but we live in a fallen world. And in a lot of ways, the world we live in looks like that house across the street that there's trees down by the roots, and there's just huge trees that are splintered up, and oh, it's just, that house, it kind of looks threatening because there's just like jagged things sticking up, you know? And so I look at that and I feel like that's really, in a lot of ways, the world that we live in, what it looks like. It looks a lot more like that than a pristine, nicely manicured lawn. That's the fallen world we live in. But Jesus came to redeem us from that. I'm so thankful that Jesus came to redeem us from the fall of man. We all have been certainly blemished by the fall, but Jesus came to redeem us and to restore us. He has, and I'm thankful for that, aren't you? He came to redeem us. He came to restore us. He came to make us right. So that's a great truth and a great hope that we have. But in the middle of all this, you know, world and what's going on around us, we live and we're impacted by what goes on in our own lives and what goes on around us. We all are impacted. Certainly I'm not the only one impacted by what's going on around me or what's going on in my own life. And it's easy at a time like that to be like those trees and to be weak. And you know, if we had, before that ice storm started, it was, you remember all the things they were saying, what was going to happen. And it was hard to even imagine what it was going to look like 24 hours later. You're just sitting there and you're going, you know, how can these little pellets falling from the sky really do anything? Or even when the freezing rain started, you're like, how is this? Little did we know, right after the sun went down on Wednesday night, we'd start hearing crack, crack, pow, pow. And before the night was over, the sky was lit up like somebody was in everybody's neighborhood doing amazing fireworks with all the transformers blowing out. Y'all remember? It was like we went from just living our lives to all of a sudden, wow, what has happened? And then you wake up the next morning and things are still falling. And you couldn't imagine, but there was no way to predict what was going to fall, what limbs were going to break. You know, we had right by the very front of our drive, there's a huge magnolia tree, and we lost all big bunch of parts of that fell off. But then we have magnolia trees that are up by the house, and they I don't think they lost a leaf. Why did that one lose so much and these lose so little? It's interesting. And then in the front yard, there was this one big tree. There are about five trees that look very similar. And about three of them didn't seem to lose anything. One of them lost a big branch, and then the other one came up from the roots and toppled over. Now, why did that one fall and the others didn't? It's just interesting. There was no way for me to predict what would happen. I couldn't see what was going on, but the same storm hit them all. But some were stronger and some were weaker. And that's what happens in life, is that some people are stronger and some people are weaker. And, you know, it's not enough for us all to say, yeah, yeah, I'm a strong one. I'm really strong. Because just you thinking you're strong doesn't really make you strong. That's not the answer. I'm not going to stand up here tonight and say, y'all need to think strong. Think you're strong. That's not it. Let's start reading here in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read what Paul prayed in verse 14. He said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, notice in these verses that Paul prayed that we would be strengthened. He prayed for the church at Ephesus that they would be strengthened. And I believe that these prayers Paul prayed for the churches are examples for us of how we should pray for one another and even pray for ourselves. And he prayed here that we would be strengthened with might. Now, that word strengthened is you've heard us talk about the word dunamis, God's power, resurrection power, miracle working power. It's the strength and might and power of God. Well, this word strength means this word strengthened means in dunamis. In other words, it means that you would be empowered with that same power. That's really the best reckoning of that word, is empowered. That you would be empowered with God's power. That you would be infused with his power. You would be strengthened with that same resurrection power, miracle working power, strength that God has, that you would be infused with that power. Now, there are certain things, if you notice in here, you never find in any of Paul's writings, he never prays that we would be healed. He never prays that we'd be healed. Now, I know many Christians pray to be healed, but Paul never prays that we would be healed. Why doesn't he pray that we'd be healed? Well, once we understand what took place at the cross as Jesus substituted himself for us and what happened there through redemption, we know that we are already healed. It's just a matter of taking our healing. So we don't have to pray and ask for healing. But and there are a lot of things that are like that. They belong to us. And strength, we have access to it, but it's interesting that Paul prayed that we would be strengthened. So it says to me in him praying that strength is something that rises and falls in our lives. We can be stronger at some point and weaker at other points. And strength is something that we have a continuous need for. It's not something that we got and now we're done with it. Certainly when you're saved, you got a good dose of strength. Certainly when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're strengthened. There are other things that strengthen you, but we need to be continually strengthened in our lives. And Paul prayed that for the church at Ephesus, and by example, he prayed, you know, giving us instruction on how to pray for each other and for ourselves, that we would be strengthened or empowered, or this might of God would be imparted to us. And it's in our inner man, this strength. It comes in our inner man. And I'm going to talk about that before we leave out of here tonight, about what it means to be strengthened on the inside as opposed to be strengthened in other ways. But it's that we would be strengthened with his mighty power. Now, as you go on down, it says that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. I think one reason people have trouble, and let me just say it this way, I know one huge reason that people have trouble standing in faith is because they're weak. They're weak. Just not even weak in faith. They're just weak on the inside. They're weak spiritually. And it's difficult to stand in faith when you're weak spiritually. And then he goes on, the rest of the verses that I read, he talks about coming to comprehend, to know the love of God. Well, the love of God, really, it's going to take for all of us great strength to stay in the love of God, to receive revelation of it, to understand it, to walk in it, because it's so big and so vast and it's so contrary to what we all experience in the world that it takes an inner strength to grab hold of a revelation of the love of God and to stay in it and not to slip out of it. You have to fight to stay in the love of God. You have to fight to stay, just like the message that we heard on Sunday night from Lee, where he talked about the Father and what we have from our Heavenly Father and how he prizes us and cherishes us. You have to have strength to stay with that revelation, because it's so easy to lose that revelation and to start feeling like an orphan or a cast off or a reject or somebody that's, you know, should be ashamed of themselves or someone that has no place with God. I mean, we have an enemy who comes constantly to take that revelation from us. But we need to have strength to even stay with the revelation of God's love for us. Paul prayed that we would be strengthened with might through his Spirit. Where does the strength come from? It comes from his Spirit. And it comes into our spirit, in our inner man. All right, let's go on. Let's read Colossians chapter 1. Now, there are four main prayers. These are not all the prayers, but there are four main prayers in the New Testament, in Paul's writings, of Paul's prayers for the churches. One is Ephesians 1. One is the one we just read in Ephesians 3. There's one in Philippians 1, and then there's another in Colossians 1. But let's read the one in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened," here's that word strengthened again, that same word of being empowered by God's might, his strength coming into you, "strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy." Very interesting. How many of you have challenges with your patience? How many of you find it difficult to be long suffering? How many of you actually have had to suffer long? Yeah, do you know how you are strong while you're suffering long? Because you're going to receive a strengthening from him. That's the only way to be long-suffering. So it says, "strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering." Now here it is, with joy. That's a real indication about how much strength you really have. A real barometer, you know, or measure of your strength has to do, you can really measure it based on your joy while you're being patient and while you're in the situation of long suffering. People that mope, you know what moping is? People that complain, people that whine, people that are full of, "I'm a victim, everybody feels sorry for me." That person that's not filled with joy is a person who doesn't have strength. Which makes sense, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So there's such a connection between strength and joy. If you don't have joy, I can tell you, you're missing out on strength. But they feed off of each other. Joy brings strength, and strength brings joy. There's something going on there. So he's talking about patience and long suffering with joy. Now, if you haven't lived long enough to witness this or to understand this, I can tell you, I've lived long enough to know that you on planet Earth are going to have great opportunities to be patient and long suffering. And let me just say this. If you don't know that, then you probably have never been married. Or you've never had a real job. You know, or you certainly have never had children. Or you've never had really, you know, any interaction with people. I can tell you for sure you've never pastored. And you may be thinking, and you've never been in Susie's church. You know, you never had to go to church with Susie. So, I mean, whatever it is, you have, all of us, great opportunities to be patient and long-suffering. But God's plan is that we would be patient and long-suffering with joy. And the only way to really be patient and long-suffering with joy is to be strengthened. And I, you know, often it comes through my mind what Hebrews says, that we're not of those who draw back. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about drawing back. Sometimes I go ahead and just back up a few steps and I draw back, and then I'm reminded we are not of those. Oh, wait a minute now. That's part of my identity. My identity, I'm not of those who draw back. We're not of those who draw back. So when times are tough, we don't draw back, we move forward. How are you going to do that? With strength. Drawing back is weakness. And when you're weak, you draw back, you faint, you fall. We're not of those who do that. Why? Because we have access to strength. We have access to God's very power to come inside of us and to infuse us with His might, His power, His strength, His, I'm telling you, all of Him strengthening us. And that will rise up in us and enable us to endure, to persevere, to be patient, to be long-suffering. Don't we love that word, long-suffering? Not a good word, is it? But yet a reality. Okay, so strengthen with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. A moment ago, I told you that there's four major prayers that Paul prayed. I've read two of them to you. Both of them talk about the strengthening. So I would say, based on that, there were four major prayers that Paul prayed for the churches, gave as examples for us to pray for ourselves and each other. And two of them specifically talk about strengthening. I would say that we, just taking our teaching, you know, taking the example of the scripture, that we should be praying for strength and praying for each other to be strengthened. What would you say? And I would say it's important. I'd say it's beyond important. It's vital to us that we, all of us, need to be strengthened on a continuous basis. We need to be infused with His mighty power in our inner man. We need that infusion going on within us. We need that. There's something, you know, critical for us to live, and it is God's strength. We have to have that. You and me, strengthened with His mighty power. It'll produce joy. It'll enable us to persevere. All of those things we just talked about. Now, let's go on and read Ephesians 6. I'm just wanting to get the scriptures out of the way here so we can just have a little talk. Ephesians chapter 6. And there are a lot of things that Ephesians 6 says, and you can take time to read it another day. But right now, I just want to read verse 10. Paul writing, and he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." He tells us to be strong. And I'll just remind you how many times through the scripture God spoke to people and told them to be strong. And when God gave people assignments, He would tell them to be strong. Y'all remember we've discussed Joshua many times here on Wednesday nights. And when God turned the assignment over to Joshua to take care of His people and to lead them into the promised land. You know, Moses had brought him out of Egypt, and now Joshua's job was to get him in the promised land. And he, the first thing he told him, be strong and very courageous. Be very strong. He kept telling him to be strong. Why? If God tells you something, do you think God's just, you know, like, got a Hallmark card he's reading from and he's thinking what would be a nice thing to say here? I think sometimes we think verses are in the Bible just so that greeting card companies can exist and have something, you know, to print. That's, you know, that's kind of what it is. We don't realize that if God is saying something repeatedly, if there's something that's repeated, if there's a theme that keeps coming up, there's a flag on that. Look, look, look. There's a bright, you know, flashing light. You're going to need this. You're going to. And so you read through Paul's writings and he talks a lot about this idea of being strengthened, being strong. And he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So I would say to you tonight, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's something in us that kind of rebels against that. I know in, with me, if something's going on in my life, the last thing I want somebody to do is look at me and tell me to be strong. That's not really what I'm looking for. You know, Gary, you minister to people. When people are in a crisis, they want sympathy. That's what they want. They want, you know, they want you to pet them. They want to, you know, and we all want that, don't we? I do. The last thing I want is for somebody to look at me and go, be strong. Suffer longer. Persevere. Be patient. That's not what we want to hear, but that's what we need to hear. What we need is to be strong. And I think that that's something, a message that just in Christianity, we don't give to each other that message enough. We are much, you know, more apt to to give somebody what they want, which is to entertain all their problems, rather than to just look at them and say, look, you need to be strong. You need to be strengthened. And again, it's not be strong in yourself. He didn't say be strong in yourself. And if you think be strong in yourself is what it says, you've missed the whole point. It says be strong in the Lord. So let's just talk about that for a few minutes. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, as opposed to you being strong in yourself. Now, every once in a while, you'll meet a person who tells you how strong they are. I come from a long line of very strong people, they will tell you. And this seems like some families have a lot of pride in their strength. You know, when I was pregnant with Maddie Sue, our first child, I was 23. And my grandmother, I worked with my grandmother and I saw her every day. After my granny retired, my granny worked all her life. Eventually, she got a job and worked at Enterprise Mill for, I don't know, many, 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 many years. Worked in cotton mills, you know. And then when she got old enough to retire, she retired, and that lasted about a week. Isn't this true? My mom could tell you the story, but she was like going nuts. And so my mom said, look, why don't you just, my mom and dad had a furniture business. They said, mama said, why don't you just come over and, you know, work for us. And she said, well, what kind of work? And she said, we'll do bookwork. And my granny said, well, I've never done that. I don't know how to do it. And mama said, well, come over and I'll teach. And she came and she learned. So she had a whole new career starting in her 70s, and she worked into her 80s. So there's Granny. So I worked there too. And so I'd see her every day. So here I am. I'm pregnant with Maddie Sue. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking you are pregnant with your child, and you know, pregnancy is a time that we should get special consideration. You would think. Yeah. You get extra rest. You get extra naps. You know, you don't pick up anything heavy. You don't have to sweat. You don't, you know, you get whatever you want to eat. It should be brought to you. You know, this is a big deal. I'm pregnant here. And, you know, it was just, I've told you before what my mom did to me. I'm not going to go back into that. You can, because that's a sore subject. So we don't want to get back into that. But now I'm going to tell you where my mom got it from. So I'm working with my granny every day, you know. And I would be ill. I would be sick. I'd swell up. I had all this stuff going on, you know. And every time I'd come by my granny, because you think it's my granny. I mean, my mama didn't give me one bit of sympathy, but surely my granny will. No, this is my granny. My granny would say, well, you know, the day that Rebecca, that was her oldest child, her name's Becky, and granny called her Rebecca. You know, I told you, people in my life don't know how to talk. It's a wonder I can even say anything. But she called her Rebecca. Rebecca was her name, Rebecca. You know, the day Rebecca was born, I picked a whole, you know, I can't even remember what it was, but she picked all the cotton she was assigned to pick that day. I picked all the cotton I had to pick that day. I mean, in the way she painted it, she got to the end of the row, she squatted, there was the baby. She put the baby in the sack and went on. I mean, that was the way it sounded to me. That's the way she told it to me. Honestly, that was it. She's out. She picked her row the day Rebecca was born. I was, you know, nobody did it, you know, and she's telling me she's out picking cotton in the field. Yeah, these are the people I'm from. So, you know, it's really hard for me to get any. You understand, there was not a lot of sympathy there. You know, and that was her way of saying, you know, I used to say this, and Matt made me quit saying it, but I'll just say it tonight, then he can fuss at me later. But I'm not saying it. I'm just telling you what I used to say. I'm not saying it. But I used to say, I come from a long line of really sturdy, ugly women. Now, I'm not saying that about me or my mom or my granny. My granny was a beautiful woman. But on the other side of my family, oh, Lord. I don't know how that woman had 18 children. The husband must have been blind. Because, dear Lord, maybe it was the 18 children that made her look that way. But my goodness, she did die at 48. But anyway, but that whole notion of coming from a long line of really sturdy women, that was drilled into me by this kind of thing. And so some people have that. You have that in your family about how strong we are. And there's people like that. I can make it. Some of you are like that. You just are really strong in yourself. I'm not talking about being strong in yourself. I mean, some of you, that's probably all that's gotten you through some points. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being strong in the Lord. It's a different thing. Being strong in the Lord. I'll remind you what the prophet said. Let the weak say, I am strong. So God knows that you in yourself are weak. And I'm talking about being strong in the Lord. That's different. Being strong in the Lord. Not looking to yourself for strength, because you will run out of strength. Whatever it is, you'll run out of strength. But you are to be strong in the Lord. Now, notice it doesn't say be strong in emotion. And one thing that I've seen is that people are really strong in emotion. And they're led by emotion. And they live by their emotions. And they're very strong in emotion. Maybe you're married to somebody like that. Somebody who's really strong in emotion. They're emotional. They're hot-headed. They go this way and they go that way. And they're very strong in emotion. And you know, in order to be strong in the Lord, you may need to be less strong in emotion. You need to be less ruled by emotion. You need, some people, the strongest thing about them is their emotion. They are just, woo! And here they go with their emotion. We're not to be strong in our emotions in the sense that we're just, we use our emotion to get through everything. It's our, we would call you a drama queen, the emotion. We're to be strong in the Lord. And sometimes strength in the Lord is very quiet. Sometimes being strong in the Lord is almost not noticeable or perceivable to the people around you. Just like I talked about those trees. 24 hours before that storm hit, we couldn't have told which trees were strong and which weren't. Where we could tell is after the storm, we could see who broke and who didn't. So it's not all outward appearances. It's not about what you put out to people, telling people how strong you are. It's not all about your, you know, even the emotion that you exhibit in things. There's a strength that's on the inside. It's very personal. It's on the inside. Being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now that's something I pray for you continuously. Probably more than anything else that I pray for you is that you would be strong in the Lord, that you would be strengthened with His mighty power in your inner man. Because whatever's going on in your life, you need to be strong. And whatever you're facing, you're going to have to face it in faith. And you aren't going to be in faith if you're weak on the inside. You're not going to, even if you have a measure of faith, which that's all you really need, you're not going to be able to stand if you don't have strength on the inside. You'll abandon your faith. You'll abandon your hope. You'll run off. You'll be ruled by your emotion. I've seen people just blow their lives up because of their hasty emotions. Because they just do things based on emotion. They do things quickly. They react instead of acting. They don't make a decision and do something. They just react. And their whole life is filled with just reaction after reaction. Instead of being strong and steady. Strength will make you be steady. It will enable you to persevere. It will enable you to be patient. You think of, in your mind, somebody who's patient. There's somebody who's steady. They're patient. They stay with something. They persevere. They're long-suffering. All that comes out of strength. And inner strength. Inner strength. Some people, they depend on the strength of their wallet. And it doesn't say be strong in your wallet. And some people, they feel strong as long as they got a thick wallet. When their wallet gets thin, their strength is low. Some people feel strong in their connections. Well, I know people. And so as long, you know, but what, when you run out of people, what about when people can't help you? This is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's something every one of us have room to increase in. Every one of us can grow in that. Not in yourself. It doesn't say be strong in man's wisdom. Now that's something that I've seen many times, that people look for man's wisdom. and they try to acquire mantle. I'll give you a really great example. When someone has a challenge medically and they immediately seek every bit of medical knowledge about the subject, which it's good to have some medical. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but the first thing you need is to be strong in the Lord, not in medical knowledge. You need strength in the Lord. Sometimes the medical knowledge you get will weaken you. It will cause you to stagger because the enormity of your problem will overwhelm you. Being strong in the Lord, not in man's wisdom, not in medical knowledge, not in your emotion, not being strong in any other thing, not being strong in it's a good economy, not being strong in will the government always pay me a check, not being strong in I'm in the army and the army's going to take care of me. I mean, it's interesting, just in the last couple of days, what's being, you know, said that's going to be proposed about our Department of Defense. That's enough to make you kind of take a couple of steps back. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, the Lord and His Word are one. And so being strong in the Lord is being strong in the Word. Well, I think you probably have heard that at some point. I mean, it is Wednesday night and you are at church. So you probably have something in you that's longing for being strong in the Word. But you don't get strong in the Word and then you're always strong in the Word just because you were once strong in the Word. You have to stay strong in the Word. And we've talked about that many times. We've talked about it a lot in the last several weeks, last couple of months, about staying strong in the Word. Some of those trees that broke, they didn't break in the last storm we had. Some of the trees that we have, that big tree that toppled, we had a big ice storm, you know, a number of years ago. That same tree was in our yard, but it didn't break off. It was stronger then, or what came against it now was bigger and it took it out. You have to be strong continuously in the Lord. Okay. And then let's go on down, read one more verse, then we'll talk more. Isaiah 40. And you've probably heard these verses. Isaiah 40, verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Boy, that's good news. Did y'all hear that? I got an app, my 7 app. It's asking me if I have 7 minutes to do 7 exercises. And it's whistling at me. He gives power to the weak. Isn't that good? To the weak. So if you came in tonight and you feel a little weakened, maybe the weekend was sort of weakening for you. I know for some people it was very weak. I mean, even though God ministered to people, there was some raw emotion going on up in here. That can kind of bring you to a place of almost weakness. He gives power to the weak. So you're actually in a good place if you're weak. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. I tell you, that's a really good thing to say about yourself. He gives power to me and He increases my strength. He gives power to me. God gives power to me and He increases my strength. The Lord gives power to me and He increases my strength. When you're feeling weak, what should you be saying? You should be saying, He gives power to me and He increases my strength. The Lord gives power to me. He gives power to me. He gives power to me and He increases my strength. The Lord Himself gives power to me and He increases my strength. Right now, the Lord has given power to me. And He is increasing my strength. You do talk to yourself like that, don't you? He gives power. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. He gives power to me. He increases my strength. The Lord gives power to me. I am strong. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the power of His might. He gives power to me. If you're feeling weak, that's what you do. So if you're feeling weak when it comes to sin, if you're feeling tempted to sin, you feel in a weakened condition towards doing something that you know is outside of God's will for you, boy, you need to be talking to yourself. And you need to be saying, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am strong and I'm well able to overcome temptation. God Himself is infusing me with strength in my inner man, and that enables me to overcome. It's impossible to stay weak when you talk like that. It's impossible. Impossible. If you talk like that continually, you'll be strong. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. That's interesting. There's no one who's immune to weakness. There's no one. You can't say, well, he's always going to be stronger. You can't say, I'm going to always be strong. No one is. Even the youth will faint and be weary. And young men shall utterly fall. He's just saying there's no one immune in this. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's how you persevere. That's how you are long-suffering, because you can walk but not be weary. You can run but not faint. Why? Because of a divine infusion of strength that's happening on the inside of you. Now, let's talk for just a minute about this word wait. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You've probably heard messages about waiting on the Lord. I think some people think it means you just sit down, and that's not what the word wait means. One portrayal of the word wait is like a waiter who would serve and minister. But if you look at the real root of this word, it's an interesting word, because the root means to bind together as if by twisting. So to wait on the Lord is to be bound together with Him and to be twisted together with Him. So imagine you and the Lord being bound together and being twisted up. And the Lord is His Word, and the Word is the Lord. Being bound up and twisted together with His Word. And His Word being twisted together with you. You're bound up with it and twisted in it. You're encased and bound with His Word and twisted together with His Word. You're linked together, chained together, His Word and the Lord. You're waiting on the Lord. That means that, to me, what that means is you are just filling your mouth and your ears and your eyes with His Word. And you're talking the Word to yourself, and you're thinking on the Word, and you're putting the Word in your ears and in your eyes. And you do that, it'll bring strength to you. We know that. How many of you have experienced that? All right. How many of you have experienced the opposite of that? Meaning you're weak and you weren't bound up with the Word. You weren't twisted together with it, and you remained weak. Now, some months ago, and I've talked about it, and Terry's been posting on the Facebook group video. I think it's the video. I haven't listened to what you've been. Is it video or audio? She's been posting the videos of a series by Keith Moore that he did about God's will is healing. And it's a whole bunch of chapters. And he wrote a book. He preached a whole bunch of messages, and she's posting the videos. You can go on his website. You can find it through our website. Go to Faith Fuel. It's listed under there. It's all free. It's awesome, awesome stuff. But you can go, and there's the videos, there are the audios, and there's a book that they took his messages and wrote a book out of it. Well, it's interesting, because I read the book, and several months ago I got this book, and I started reading it. And the second chapter of the book is about strength. Isn't that interesting? The book is about God's will to heal, and the second chapter is about strength. And it has like 30 or 50, it's a huge bunch of chapters. And the second chapter is about strength. And he talks about how a strong spirit will sustain you. Well, the scripture says that. The scripture says a strong spirit of man will sustain him in illness. And you can say it this way. A strong spirit will sustain you in whatever calamity comes, whatever trial you're in, whatever the circumstances are. A strong spirit will sustain you. But the opposite of that is a weak spirit will doom you. The same ice storm hit every tree. Some were doomed, and some didn't lose hardly anything. The difference was not the storm. It wasn't the circumstances. It wasn't the amount of rain. It wasn't the temperature. It wasn't like warmer in one part of the yard and colder in the other part. The difference was in the tree. The difference was from branch to branch. And that's the same thing. A calamity comes in. Circumstances come. I'm telling you, there are circumstances that are common to all. You know, the Bible says that God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. The sun, you know, we have a sunshiny day. We all have a sunshiny day. It's not like it's, you know, raining at your house and sunny at mine. There are things that are common. Life has things that has a way of just bringing us all into the same place. There's things that are common to all of us. You know, several weeks ago we were in Minnesota and we were, you know, dealing with Matt's dad's funeral. Well, here's the deal. If your father hasn't died, first of all, if you have a father and he's still alive, bless you. You're blessed. But if your father hasn't died, he's going to die one day. I mean, people die. You, if you've never had death come close to you, you will one day. Because death is common to all. In fact, every one of us will step through death at some point. It's common. You can try to push it off or whatever. Life comes. There are issues come. Troubles come. And the Bible has never said nothing will, you know, the Christian life is that you'll never face anything. It's that in Christ we overcome whatever comes our way. So some people are like all caught off guard when trouble comes. In fact, Jesus told us in this world you'll have tribulation. So if you're in the world, trouble's coming. But you need strength. He didn't leave us without a comforter. He didn't leave us without help. He sent his word and healed us and helped us and saved us and delivered us. So it's not that we're not going to have issues. We need his help. We need his strength. And so when the trouble comes, we need strength. We need to be strengthened. How will we be strong? Well, you being strong is, again, it's a very personal matter. It's crazy. You know, I can go and I can, you know, I have a certain strength training routine that I got from a main man, Pastor Nate. He can hook you up with strength training materials. And so I have a strength training thing, you know, and so I'm faithful to do that. And I'm doing my squats and I'm doing all the things that I do with these weights. But you know, one thing I have noticed, in one session, I'll lift over 800, you know, I'll do over 800 lifts in this one session. And this is one thing I've noticed is that all those times I'm in there doing that lifting, I never go into the other part of the house and find Matt and his muscles are strengthened. It's just the craziest thing. But all my lifting doesn't strengthen his muscles. And all of your spiritual strengthening does not strengthen the other people. It's a very... Carol being strengthened spiritually doesn't strengthen any. He has to do it himself. It's a very personal choice. Are you going to bind yourself together with this word? Are you going to wait on the Lord? Are you going to twist yourself together with him? And, you know, very personal choice. When something comes in your life, where do you go? What do you do? What's on your mind? How do you deal with it? It's a very personal choice of what you're going to do. And you're the one who makes that choice. But you can choose to go to the Lord or you can choose not to. Now, so we know that waiting on the Lord certainly has to do with the word. But I do want to talk for a minute about something else. And it is receiving strength from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the strengthener. He is. If you go in the Amplified Bible and you see how the Amplified breaks down the Comforter, he's the, you know, or the Paraclete, he's the one who's called alongside to help, and then it gives you names. It says he's the Counselor, and he's the Standby, he's the Comforter, and he's the Strengthener. And one thing that the Holy Spirit, notice a lot of times when I read these, it said you'll be strengthened by his mighty power by His Spirit in your inner man. There's something the Holy Spirit does. It is a supernatural occurrence in your life, a supernatural happening that the Holy Spirit Himself will infuse you with strength. So one way to be strengthened is to wrap yourself up in the Word. But another way that we can receive strength, and I'm going to, and this you may not know as much about as you know about the Word, it's receiving strength from the Holy Spirit. And it is as simple as this. It is as simple as you praying prayers like we just read, Paul's prayers, and you saying things like what we just said, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And while you do that, you are worshiping God. You're just, thank you for strengthening me. And as you do, you just open up yourself, putting your mind on Him, and you are receiving strength from Him. And I see it. I can close my eyes and see Him strengthening me, an infusion coming on the inside of me. You are strengthening me with your mighty power in my inner man. I just thank you for it. And then I'll just go over into the hikimoshundas, you know. I'll just pray in the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that as we pray in the Holy Spirit, it edifies us or builds us up. Or strengthens us. What happens when you plug in your phone? Well, it charges it, but it strengthens your phone. It strengthens your charge. And so it'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. So as you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're not just, you know, praying about something. You're actually being charged up on the inside. You're being strengthened on the inside. Now, that's one thing I think that all of us really don't make enough use of, or don't really get the benefit of nearly enough. And that is the Holy Spirit's ability to empower us from the inside. Just by simply just taking time to pray according to the Word, but also to pray in other tongues and to receive that infusion. It is a spiritual happening. You can do it during praise and worship. You can do it in a service. We had plenty of times on Saturday at the end of each session, Lee would give us a few minutes for the Holy Spirit to minister to us. It's a great time to be strengthened. You know, Sunday night, many of us were here, many of you were here, and Lee was ministering to people up front, and then that just sort of leaves a lot of people out there, and some people don't really know what to do. It's a great time for you to be strengthened. But even if you're not at church, you can be strengthened. Sometimes you just need to go out to your car, because that's the only place maybe you can get away. You just need to go out to the car and lock the doors. And you just need to take a moment and receive strength. I'm just drawing strength here. And particularly in volatile moments, particularly in times of high stress, particularly when things have just escalated, particularly when you got some really bad news, particularly, you know, when the twister is about to hit, so to speak, you need to be strengthened. Or when temptation has come, when you're at a point of peak temptation, you take a moment, take time, take a half an hour, take an hour. You know, I mean, I know some women, their whole answer in life is, I'm going to get in the tub and I'm going to get a glass of wine. Why don't you get in the tub and let the Holy Spirit strengthen you? He can strengthen you in the tub, and it's going to help you a lot more than what's in that glass. He will strengthen you. There'll be a strength that'll come in you. Now, in closing, I want to say this. Feel strongly about saying this. When we went over a year ago, we went through, and some of you know about, a lot of you know about, what we went through with the whole AFCM debacle, as I call it. And through that process, we were in a lot of contact with Jim and Jan Newton, our friends and ministry partners in Australia, and we Skype with them some weeks a couple of times a week, but just about every week for many weeks. And just about every conversation when we talked, Jim would say to us, hasten slowly, which I had never heard that term. Not really sure what it means, but what it technically means. But to me, it meant don't do anything rash. Don't you just be sure before you do anything. Now, there were several times as we walked through that thing that I really, really, really wanted to do something. I really, really, really wanted to send out copies of a lot of paperwork I had. I really, really, really just wanted to make a few phone calls. I really just wanted to forward about 25 really good emails I had. There were just a whole lot of things that, you know what I'm saying, Sean? You just sometimes get in situations where you have something and you just think, if everybody just saw this, this whole thing would be over. And I would be just about to, or I would write it, or I would do, and then I would, little Jim Newton's words would come in my head, hasten slowly. And so I would, before I hit the send button, I would do, and then I would regain my composure, or a strength would come. You understand what I'm saying? And that allowed me to be long-suffering and to persevere and to be patient and to not do something that was going to really be destructive in the long run. Now, it shocks me how quickly people will pull the plug on their marriages. I've seen people do that. I've seen people have one fight and it ended the whole thing. I could tell you a great story about that, but I'm not. And then, and it's just shocking. I'm just like, wow, they've never discussed it before. It's never come up. One conversation, and it wasn't adultery. One disagreement and boom, and it was over. It was done. I've seen people do some really crazy things quickly. And I'm going to tell you, all of us have opportunities to do some really crazy things. But if you will be strengthened, it will enable you to hasten slowly and to get wisdom from God and to do what He tells you to do and to walk steady. I know a pastor who pastored a church, started a church, Pioneers Church. One meeting with his board, and the board said something to him that he didn't like, and he looked at the bank account. And he realized what his bills were going to be next week. And he just walked up on Sunday morning just out of the blue and said, "We're closing down the church." They put a lock on the door and the church was done. Closed the church. It was over. Shocked everybody. Just because he just suddenly did something. That to me is a sign of weakness. He needed to be strengthened. If you will be strengthened, you can persevere. You be strengthened, you can suffer long. You can make it through. You can make it through. Many of us could tell stories of things that we were absolutely going down the drain, but we just held on and things turned around. We were wiped out except for the Lord, and it all turned around. But if you get in the middle of it and you pull the plug, you get in the middle of something and you're weak, you'll be like those trees that just went click, click, click. I'm telling you, there's just something to be said for standing. For staying steady, for just enduring, just staying with something, just staying steady, and it takes strength. And yeah, we all get to the breaking point. How many of you have been to a breaking point before? When you get to a breaking point, do you know what you need? Strength. That will keep you from breaking. How do you get strength? Wrap yourself in the Word. Do what I showed you to do just a minute ago. Open your mouth, put the Word in your mouth, and then the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. Amen. Let's stand.